We're still studying the word temptation and the words for temptation. The one that's used in the Lord's Prayer, where we are in Luke, is dokimazo, which means to test or prove with the expectation that it will be that you'll pass the test, and we'll get to that one next. The word we're studying first is this perosmos. It's a trial of fidelity, a trial of virtue, integrity, constancy. And it's the main test for believers because it takes place over so long a time. It's not a test that you something's wrong and you endure. This test takes place over many, 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 many years. And it's the test of your integrity. It's the test of your constancy. And so there's one more we looked at a whole bunch already, but the one more is kind of neat. So let's look at Revelation 3. This is the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Now you understand that the angel here doesn't mean like an angel. All of the word angel means is a messenger. It's not like it could be, but it's normally not a supernatural phenomenon. It's just a messenger. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write.
I'm sorry, what verse are we in?
Sorry, verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and he shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, or church of Satan, which say they are Jews, or say they are Christians, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Now this is the key verse. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now this is where they get the great tribulation, or one of the places. And the hour of temptation doesn't mean it's going to last an hour. It's an expression of a time continuance. So let's read it again. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Keep means garrison you. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now what does it mean to keep the word of his patience? Now let's go to Revelation 14 and then we'll see if we can understand this. This defines this word of his patience. This is what that patience that means. It's in verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. So it's not only you've kept the word of his patience, you've kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. That's pretty big. That's kind of a big verse. Doesn't get any bigger. And I heard a voice from heaven to present those that have kept the word of his patience, that have kept the commandments of God, that have faith and the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Well, we've studied that verse, looked at that verse 100 times. I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are they that keep, no, excuse me, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The rarest thing in the universe is for someone, I mean among men, is for someone or group of ones to have their works follow them instead of lead them. This is all we studied about yesterday, about coming out of Babylon, about whatever is not of faith is sin. There's a song, I mean, a phrase in the Hallel. Well, no, it's not, maybe it is. Let's look at that. I think it's 116 or 118, either one. Psalm 116.
What is that saying? I guess patience would be, would go along with faith, meaning faith is a thing.
No, it's the constancy. Do what now? I didn't understand.
He's trying for this verse that says something like faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the set.
Oh, yeah, it's Hebrews 1.
Yeah, Hebrews 11, I guess.
11:1.
That would be patience.
What did you say, Elvin?
I said we're going to Psalms one, either 116 or 118, but I can't remember which. It's the precious to the Lord is the death of the saints. More precious than... Isn't that in the Hallel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's in Psalm 116, verse 15.
See, that's why you make the big bucks. Psalm 116, let's start in verse... let's read the Psalm. We've got time. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Don't anybody start breaking out singing here. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me, upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. I return unto the rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take of the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's not talking. This, you understand what death he's talking about? It's the understanding that you are dead, and it's precious because then Christ lives. He is your life. He is your sustenance. He is your only thing. There's no more defining yourself by what you see, or your history, or imagining yourself in some future position. It's the now, the eternal now, the life of Christ. So precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen?
Amen.
So one more, but go back to Revelation. Let's read it now in that context. Revelation 3. We're in 1 verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, so this is this word, this parasamos, and it's a test of your constancy, a test of your faithfulness. And it's the one that takes place over time. And it's the hour, it tests whether you keep his patience, the word of his patience. Anybody understand? All right, let's go to the next verse. This is the one that's, this has a lot better news in it than this one, the other one. So first go to Romans 12. This word is, for again, it's test or patience or, I mean, or temptation. And it's the word dokimazo. D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. It means to test or to prove with the expectation of approval. It's a big difference. The one is upon all the world. The other is called. So this is a test that he expects will be passed, if you will. Okay, Romans 12. I said that, didn't I? I got sidetracked. Romans 12. All my pages of my Bible stick together. And don't tell me anything. I can't even get to Romans. The word we're going to study is in verse 2, but let's start in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And again, that sounds like a contradiction in terms. Sacrifice is a death. But now, because of Christ in us, it's a living sacrifice. And your body isn't able to be a sacrifice. Your flesh and blood isn't a sacrifice. You're presenting, you're giving back to God that which he gave you. So Christ is always the living sacrifice. Amen? You're doing something, Gary.
Catching a lot of it.
All right. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And reasonable service is, it means the highest that you can do in the sight of God. And service is the word that for the high priest in the Holy of Holies when he does his stuff once a year. So your reasonable service is to present yourself a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, and that's this dokizomai, or test. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Now everybody's running around searching for the will of God for their life, and that's just a vain, empty search. Because the will of God for your life is Jesus Christ. What happens after that is not our business. Amen? So here, but this is the expectation of that you're going to pass this test. That's what, and that's in the Holy Spirit's mind when this was written through Paul. that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, is anything going to take you off the mercy seat? Is anything, any little shiny thing going to get you to go over there? Are you going to sell your birthright for a pot of beans? Pete might. His pot of beans is pretty good. But. All right, let's go to the next one. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 11. Well, let's go up a little bit. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's builders. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try, dokizomai, thereupon. I mean, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So this is where I get the idea that it's another example where I get the idea that who is going to heaven or hell is never our business. What somebody's doing, and Jesus Christ may be the foundation, but they've built all kinds of wood, hay, and stubble, and even precious gold. Well, that's just your idolatry. Amen? But you're saved as if by fire. Or so by fire, which is an incredible word. And this is the baptism of fire.
The testing you're always talking about.
Well, it's more than that. This is the baptism by fire, as we have to go through that flaming sword of the cherubim, and the only and to enter the temple. And the only way we're entering that temple is the only thing that will enter. Let me put it another way: the only way that can enter the temple is that which proceeded from the temple. The only way you can enter the New Jerusalem is to have proceeded from the New Jerusalem. That's why we're born from above, or born from the first estate. Amen. But you understand that everything else about you except him is wood, hay, stubble, or maybe you've even got some precious stones there. It's all dust. That's why, that's why we did all this stuff about idolatry, because Zephaniah says we should live each day as if it's the judgment seat. You're on the judgment seat, or judgment day. All right, let's go to same book, but chapter 11. This is talking about the aftermath. Down verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Thus do ye as oft as you drink. Notice it isn't in there. In remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So in verse 28, let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, what is then examine? What is the word dokizomai? And dokizomai is this word test or tempt, to prove. So let a man examine himself. All right? Now let's go to the same subject, 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except to be reprobate. So there it's used, prove and examine. Again, I used to say, I've said many times, that this is the only place I was aware where they said examine yourself. I forgot that they did it also when Paul said it about the afterman. But it means the same thing. Everything we're reading, you can't do. That's why your death is a predicate of Christianity. And stop giving any breath to yourself. You're not here. You're gone.
You're reprobates, incapable of repentance.
Right. You're incapable of repentance, godly repentance, because if you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you, then you can't repent. You can just say, I'm sorry. All right, let's stay in 2 Corinthians, but go to chapter 8. Go back to chapter 8. Verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, excuse me, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove, or to stokizomai, the sincerity of your love. That they're talking about, he was collecting money for the saints in Jerusalem that were going through this big mess, the drought and everything else. And so he's asking the people in Corinth, which were rich, to give to the people in Jerusalem. Now, and he's saying, prove. sincerity or prove the integrity of your love. How do you do it? You meet me. So again, the word prove is said, he's saying that because he used this word, dokizomai. He's saying it with the expectation that you will pass the test. Okay? Okay, let's go to Galatians 6. Next chapter. Ronnie would have been proud of me. I kept everything in order here. Almost.
We'll have to tell.
Yeah. No, I won't tell.
On the other hand, if you didn't see it, how can you testify to it?
Chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now that's not the word. That's a different, that's the first word for tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove, and that's the dokizomai, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now what does that mean? Let every man prove his own work. Again, it's this thing about he's expecting you to do it, and you're doing it by meeting need wherever it is. You're doing it by laying down your life for others. At the expense of your own. Okay? All right, that's where we're halfway through. It's time to go. Anybody have any thoughts on any of this?
For what it's worth, and it's probably been said before, I know you're not careful, but the thing about works following you versus works leading you, you following the works, I was thinking about that. Said that, and I realized that if you imagine to do something and then you set out to do it, that's you following your works. But if you just do something and something happens, you know, behind you that you didn't conceive of, that's your works following you.
Amen.
So you don't plan, you just do.
Be. You don't try to be, you be. That's, I remember when I first met John Bloom, that's what I told him. I said, you don't try anymore to be or do anything, you just be. And he said, which is an interesting thing, response to it. He said, "Only that's the most difficult thing you've ever said to me. Just be. Why is that so difficult? It's the reason it's so difficult is because of Satan's half second. Remember when we studied that? Half second goes that you make a quick, and it's the fruit of eating of the tree of good and evil. You make a quick, boom, you decide whether you're going to bubble for or you're going to just think about it and sit in the judgment seat. Sometimes when you give up governors, you say things that you probably shouldn't say according to the world standards.
You also wear shirts you get harassed for.
No, you planned that.
You too planned that. So,
we worked very hard on this.
That's even worse. That's conspiracy.
And they got their reward.
All right. Please, you understand it. You understand it. This thing is proving, and the proving has the evidence of the proving is all of the things we've talked about this morning. He's expecting you to pass the test. Do you understand what being versus trying to be is? Do you understand that?
Well, it's like you said, we can't do it. All we can do is repent of all the other crap.
What do you mean you can't do it?
We can't make it happen.
Well, that's the whole predicate of everything is repentance. depends. But if you sit and think about stuff and then justify it, God help you. And say it's spiritual. Or because you didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Or it's not proper for you to say that. And all the other governors that you have in your life. First of all, you're an idiot. Second of all, you're still protecting. You're not walking on the edge. On that knife edge, you're still protecting yourself. Amen?
I wanted to say one other thing. You said when Tom spoke about the reprobates, you can't repent if you don't know Jesus is in you. From recent experience, you also can't repent if you think you're already there. If you think you're righteous.
Well, of course. That's a.
You think you repented yesterday and everything's okay today.
Well, I repented about that. You know, repentance isn't an act, it's a way of life. All right. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.